On this week's episode of Work Trends, we're talking the future of talent acquisition with Jack Copeman from Great People. Welcome to the Work Trends podcast from Talent Culture. I'm your host, Megan Mbiro. Every week, I interview interesting people and brands who are reimagining work. For more information, be sure to check us out at talentculture.com and join us live on Twitter every Wednesday at 1:30 p.m. Eastern using the hashtag WorkTrends. Today's guest is Jack Copeman. He's worked in the HR tech space for many years, and he's currently the Chief Strategy Officer at the recruiting tech company Great People. Great People is sponsoring today's episode, so thank you. Shout outs to you in Pennsylvania, and welcome to WorkTrends, Jack.
Great to be here, Megan. Thank you.
So listen, I know you've been in the HR tech space for a long time. Talk us through this. How did you get into this world?
You're right. I'm not quite sure what a long time is, but I have been in it for what I would consider a long time. But goodness, for those of us that have been in the space, it certainly does go quite fast. So I spent the majority of my career in different types of sales and marketing leadership positions, primarily in the retail technology space. So I was dealing with things like retail scanning systems in supermarkets, gas pump systems in convenience stores, payment systems, customer relationship management platforms, and the such. And in late 2001, had a friend that I was working with there that had left the organization and approached me and introduced me to Diane Smith and Jane Kettles, who were starting to make noise in the applicant tracking space. And that was an organization by the name of Virtual Edge back in 2000-2001 timeframe. So after many conversations and talking about that opportunity, I left that retail space and entered the world of HR technology, and quite honestly, haven't really looked back since. And in fact, that time at Virtual Edge, our mission, our respected customers, the people I worked with really set the stage for our management team to come back together to form Great People.
Wow. And you've been in this for a while, my friend. So I think you're underestimating. Tell us, what generation are you in right now? No lying allowed.
Oh, I'm squarely a baby boomer.
All right. Well, welcome. And I'm a Gen Xer for all of those who listen in. I know we've got some giggles out there. If you're listening in right now, utilize the hashtag WorkTrends. We want to hear from you. And I don't care what generation you're from, by the way. Everybody's welcome here. So you're doing what you love, huh? I noticed when I was researching your background, you have change agent as one of your specialties. I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, I think what's interesting is that, you know, sometimes the status quo is good, and sometimes that gets you by, but every once in a while, you kind of need to not only shake things up, but also understand, okay, well, if we're shaking this up, how do we now drive that change through the organization? And a lot of that is your messaging outside the organization, but a lot of that is back within the company, getting everybody on the same bandwidth, making sure we all understand the mission at hand and how we all need to kind of work together and you know, pull the oars in the same direction all the time to really push the organization or whatever that initiative is for further in the organization.
So Jack, what do you love about what you do right now?
So initially for me, it was, you know, I rewind back to those early 2000. Initially for me, it was being able to take the learnings from another industry and applying it to the world of HR technology. I joke that the only knowledge I had about, you know, recruiting at that point in time, because I don't think the name talent acquisition had come up yet, was being extremely disappointed that my resume didn't get enough hits on, you know, online job boards like Monster and such back in the day when I may be looking for other opportunities. But ever since then, you know, there's never been a dull moment, right? That talent acquisition function in organization is by far the lifeblood of any organization out there. And if you don't have a good handle on that, you know, here's what happens. Business objectives are missed. People's careers and livelihoods are impacted. So it's kind of like, how can you not be passionate about contributing to the success of an organization to build their most competitive asset, and that's talent? And I think what keeps you going every day is that what makes it fun is that, one, you know, as a technology provider, we're working with multiple audiences or personas, right? You need to recognize those people to craft a meaningful solution. And in that talent acquisition space, you know, those personas are external job seekers, employees, staffing agencies, recruiters, sourcers, hiring managers, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So then you have the recruiting function, and, you know, gosh, that's been evolving over the years, thinking through those creative approaches to recruiting talent, and then trying to think about those programs or processes or products or technology that help link those communities together. So there's always new things to do, all new ways to kind of explore things, which presents a lot of opportunities for organizations such as Great People.
And how long have you been at Great People?
So I joined Great People back in 2014. We as an organization started in 2010 and started architecting a solution in the RPO space. I came on board to kind of strengthen our presence in the RPO community and then look at how we were going to be taking our solution, which is a combination of candidate relationship management, recruiting marketing, applicant tracking, and how we were going to then take that to the other market, and that being working with corporations around the globe.
So as a former recruiter myself, I always like to bring this up when we're having the tech conversation. Right now, in real time, what are the biggest challenges most recruiters face from your point of view?
So I think that's a great question. You know, we all read some of the same articles and speak to the same people out there. And I think if you look at it, it falls into a couple different categories, right? So I think first is the market. You know, we all read the same articles about unemployment. Just recently learned that the number of openings was greater than the number of unemployed job seekers. So this was really a punch in the gut that, quite honestly, we should have seen coming. And if this wasn't an eyes wide open moment for, you know, TA teams around the globe, then I don't really know what is.
Right. That's a great point, by the way, Jack.
Yeah.
I felt the same way. Like, yeah, why is it taking us so long?
I know. Well, you know what? I think that I think organizations get so caught up, and I say organizations, but that talent acquisition or recruiting function or those recruiters get so caught up in the day-to-day work, and, you know, they're getting the emails from hiring managers, they're getting pressured to do things faster and such, that many times they don't have an opportunity to kind of lift their head up and look at some of those external market forces that are changing the way that they need to address talent out there, right? I mean, you look at today's market, you mentioned the generations. It's the first time we've got a market that recruiters are responsible for looking at five different types of generations. You know, all of them have different expectations. More recent generations are expecting a much richer consumer-like experience. You know, the earlier generations, you know, myself and the silent generation are more interested in what are we going to do after we stop working and maybe changing to, you know, gigs and the such that are out there. So I think there's a lot of things from the market side first off. I think the second piece would be, you know, how that recruiting function has reacted to that. So I look at the role of the recruiter, and I personally think that role is probably one of the fastest changing roles in corporate America today, right? You think about what they used to do and what they need to do today, their job is just critically important. And the expectations of that role are ever expanding, right? You know, rewind to recruiters a while ago, you know, they still need to deal with the minutiae of the recruiting process, right? They still need to deal with those emails and the follow-ups and chasing hiring managers, getting approvals, et cetera. And then they're tasked with developing those pre-need talent pipelines, managing the recruiting brand, delivering a strong candidate experience, internal mobility, looking at analytics and making sense of them.
Yeah.
And the such, right? So,
well, absolutely. Changed. No, I mean, I'm happy about it, but I still feel like we're playing catch up. I mean, the analytics piece and the data piece is huge.
Yeah, it really is, because I think that there's a lot of recruiters that, you know, and believe me, we run into all different types, right? And sometimes, you know, it's nice when you have a recruiting professional that not only can look and understand what a KPI, you know, is or what it means, but take that the next step. What does that mean to the organization? What do I need to do to improve that and the such? And so it takes a broader thinking and a higher level, more of a strategic level of thinking to look and interpret those KPIs and turn them into actionable, once again, change within the organization, right?
Does it depend on the size of the organization what recruiting functions are actually unfolding, in your view?
Yeah, I mean, I think we see that. You know, what's interesting when you look at the art of recruiting, right? I mean, the basics really haven't changed in a long time, right? It's a matter of discovering the right talent, you know, engaging with talent, whether they are, you know, employees or, you know, in support of mobility or whether they are external candidates. It's nurturing them and ultimately getting them to a point in time that you've got the right person for the right job at the right time, so on and so forth. Certainly, the stakes are much higher, right, in a larger organization, albeit, you know, adding a one person to a 10-person organization
right. Is
critically important, right? So I think it gets, I think there's just different levels and different perspectives on this. Finding, though, is the complexion of TA teams in larger organizations. I mean, it used to be you kind of had a flat organization. You had a recruiting leader, and then you had, you know, 10, 20, 50 recruiters, you know, treeing up to them in different organizations. They may be aligned with different parts of the business. You look at that TA function in organizations today, Megan, you see a completely different new titles, right? You know, you see recruitment brand managers, you see recruitment marketing specialists, sourcers, recruiters, college recruiting specialists, coordinators. So all of a sudden, we're getting into this delineation of the different parts of the recruiting process. And whether somebody can really be a true full cycle recruiter to be able to do everything from sourcing to nurturing and hiring and managing pipelines and onboarding and everything out there. So, you know, I think that role of that recruiter has certainly dramatically changed over the years.
So I want to hear some real life recruiting stories because I'm all about making it real for the audience here. Can you share some stories about how your customers are using tech to improve either the candidate or the recruiter experience, or maybe even both?
Yeah, would love to. So, you know, let me first start with the kind of text of kind of the platform that we offer, because that's important to look at the different types of use cases we have. So when we started the organization, we started squarely in kind of the CRM, candidate relationship management and recruiting marketing side. Quickly, we expanded right in our wheelhouse with, you know, applicant tracking, collaboration, you know, onboarding analytics tools and such. So we've got a really broad platform, which is really important to organizations. But what's nice about our approach is that it can be deployed differently. So with our focus on RPOs and direct organizations, there's really a couple different types of use cases. So, you know, in the RPO world, we started working with a global RPO provider several years ago. We initially started with just the ATS component working with them, but then quickly expanded with our CRM and recruiting marketing solution with them. Today, they've got about 1,000 recruiters around the globe that are using great people on an enterprise basis to discover, engage, and hire the talent that their organizations and their clients need to address their business objectives and such. So each of those environments may be a little bit different. The way that I approach a manufacturing organization in the U.S. may be different than the way I address a consumer products goods manufacturer in APAC, as an example. So no two clients are really the same. Mm-hmm. So the flexibility there is how can I take information from the client and architect those career center experiences, those microsites and landing pages, and those workflows that address how that organization in APAC operates differently than that manufacturing organization in the U.S. So today we're fully deployed there. So recruiters have one place to go. That, you know, I like to think that the platform is one that recruiters log into in the morning. They log out of at night. They probably log into it later that night as well, as we all do. But in between those bookends, everything they need to do in support of the recruiting function can be done directly through the Great People platform, either through the native capabilities that we've architected or through, you know, third-party solutions that we've tightly integrated. So that's kind of our play in the RPO, is really delivering our solution as the operating system for them to deploy their services more cost-effectively and efficiently out there in the market. The second would be, when we're working with direct clients, would be those organizations that already have an ATS system. They can't find their way out of that, but gosh, they're challenged with that. So we work with a global information services company. They were challenged with a lack of the ATS component of their HCM platform, which, by the way, we hear that a lot.
I was just going to say, the minute I hear three letters, ATS, there's always some dot, dot, dot.
Yeah, I think that, you know, that's it's a commentary on the market, right? You know, I think that HCM platforms, you know, I mean, their interest is doing a good job right across the board. But, you know, they just can't afford to invest as much in the ATS recruiting component of their platform as companies like Great People can. So in this specific case, you know, they were challenged with that. So what they found was that candidate experience was hurting, and the recruiter really couldn't be as productive as they wanted to be because of the workflow and everything that was lacking from the ATS side. So what we did was we built out a recruiting, marketing, and candidate relationship part of our platform, delivered that without the ATS, right? We kind of put our ATS and put it on the side there, and we integrated that with that client's ATS platform. So that tool set, we brought over all the marketing assets from the client, their logos, their graphics, their jobs that were open, their employee profiles and everything, and put that all into one place. So then now we have an environment that Great People serves as kind of the CRM and the recruiting marketing component of their recruiting process out there. So job seekers search through that platform. They can apply to jobs through Great People. At the end of that process, we move them over to the HCM platform that recruiters now pick that up, and now they can, you know, start working through the workflow of screening them and interviewing them and hopefully extending an offer and boarding them into the organization. So that's kind of one of those that is a little more proactive, right, in terms of organizations looking for that solution. And the final one would be that full platform story. So we work with a major women's clothing that operates across North America, and they were looking for a single platform to recruit really a variety of talent profiles, right, those corporate merchandisers, IT professionals. They were looking for field store associates, some part-time, some full-time. So they really had a lot of different types of roles. I think you probably get the picture there. So what we were able to do was, you know, certainly implement our full platform. But I think what was key was our workflow engine that we really introduced differentiated sourcing and hiring workflows, right, for those store level associates versus the corporate level talent versus the part-time versus full-time and everything. So, you know, that was especially important when you think about field level hiring, you know, where recruiting is but one function that a store manager does, and they really needed that level of automation. So, you know, it's kind of, you know, we always thoughtfully look at the environment that a client has and how can we, you know, take the attributes of our platform, because that's really how we focus this. And what are those parts of our platform that would make sense for that client out there?
Well, bake it into that culture, I always say, right? Because the more we do that, the more it feels real, the more people may want to use it, we hope. So,
adoption is a big thing, right?
You can
certainly put that platform in there, but if you don't have some kind of a strategy behind the scenes of making sure that that people were using it and such, you know, it's the same. You know, I think there's so many learnings that recruiting teams can get from other lines of business. And, you know, when we think about CRM, and in this case, we're talking about candidate relationship. But when you think about CRMs for sales teams, you know, no salesperson likes to use a customer relationship management system. But you have to, they have to do it so you can keep your organizational metrics in place there. So it's the same kind of learnings that we get from that side as we get into the talent side.
Let's talk big picture for a minute, Jack. You and I have both been in this space long enough to be dangerous, right? What are the current big misconceptions out there right now about HR tech?
Well, that's a great question, Megan. I think there's a couple different things. I think one is, as we think about it, is the difference between a platform versus a point solution, right? And Lord knows there's plenty of both of those. So, you know, there used to be an adage in the HCM space that you've probably heard, right? An HCM platform is historically kind of a mile wide and an inch deep. We talked about this a moment ago. And while they're very deep in those capabilities from HR and finance and benefits and payroll, you know, when it comes to investment of R&D dollars, they just can't afford to align that with something in their perspective that may be as small small from a revenue side as talent acquisition as such. So there's a lot at stake, you know, in that area of TA that companies just cannot settle for that ATS capability that came along with their HCM buy-in and such. And I think what we're finding is that organizations are really demanding and deserving of platforms specifically for recruiting and as such. They need that different type of a platform that is 100% focused on the art of discovering talent, engaging talent, and bringing them into the organization. So, you know, that platform needs to deliver, you know, robust, configurable feature sets for candidate relationship management, recruiting, marketing, and such. And, you know, a lot of these other new shiny toys that are out there, and some of them are tremendously valuable. But, you know, I think if organizations are looking at their technology stack as a family of different point solutions, you know, I think they're focusing on the wrong things. And they're more focused on how I'm integrating those components, you know, those, how am I managing those different user experience and the such out there. So I think one is just that, you know, just because an organization has a platform, one doesn't mean you have to take all of it, as I talked about a moment ago with the way that we've worked with, you know, organizations that may not need an ATS. So, but I think understanding that difference is really key out there. I think the second piece would be, you know, we see marketplaces that are out there, we see stores with vendors and everything, and I think a lot of organizations, a lot of, you know, recruiting leadership, you know, assumes that APIs are the magic solution for everything, and that's really a technical answer. Many times doesn't really reflect what a recruiter does and how they work within, you know, a platform as Great People, or how they would work with a third-party background screening platform and such like that. So, you know, I think what gets missed in the conversation there is that, you know, you can use the API for that handshake with that third party, but we really need to get that tightly integrated into the workflow of how they are recruiting and hiring people, right? Just because you have an integration to a background screening organization, you know, as an example, doesn't mean that when that background screening is completed, that there's going to be a signal that's sent back into the platform that says, hey, you've got a green light, that the system will then automatically start moving that candidate forward with a set of predetermined actions and everything. So I think greater understanding exactly what an API is and the such. And I think the final thing that we see is really what organizations look at from a UI perspective. So we get a lot of organizations, and you're right, you absolutely need a strong, easy-to-use UI, user experience, to drive that initial adoption rate. But, you know, we know that talent acquisition is ever-changing, right? And unfortunately, many times, that simple interface does not translate into its ability to support more complex requirements. You know, supporting all the different roles that women's clother had, supporting all the different types of locations the global RPO has. You know, recruiting is difficult and sometimes complex problems a simple UI is just not going to address. So many times what we find is organizations may make a very quick decision with that platform that looked the nicest and the such, only to find out, you know, a year down the road that given growth and change in their organization, that it's just not keeping up with them from being able to address those complex requirements.
So tell us, Jack, what questions do you answer over and over again? We want to hear it.
I'm used to having these conversations with a glass of wine at a trade event.
Exactly.
But I'll try these here, right? You know, we always get the standard ones, you know, can you integrate with X, right? How long does your implementation take? How long has Great People been around? You know, everybody gets those type of questions. I would say that the two sets of questions that we are seeing, you know, probably over the last, you know, 3 to 6 months is one is that I'm not happy with my ATS, can't change right now. How and can you integrate with my ATS to take care of that, improve candidate experience, and deliver more recruitment marketing capabilities? I think that what we're finding is that, you know, that ATS world is really more focused on automating processes within the organization and has not been doing a good job of supporting kind of the needs of the external job seeker that's out there. So that's one we get all the time. I think the other piece, which is really telling, I think, in terms of the advances and maturity in the recruiting function in an organization, is, you know, questions about revolve around the automation of the process, right? How can I automate those drip marketing campaigns to convert leads into applicants? How can I automate those different steps of the hiring process? How can I automate those activities that define onboarding in an organization? So I think what we're finding is that it's very apparent that recruiting leaders are looking at any option that's out there to expand the capacity of their teams, and technology, of course, is one of those great enablers.
Speaking of enablers, and I mean this in the most positive way possible, of course, where do you think all this is going in the next 5 or 10 years? I mean, are we at a place where we're going to actually start pulling recruiters out of these careers and we start over automating? Because I mean, what I'm hearing, and I'm not just hearing it from you, Jack, this is a trend. Like, we need to save time. At what point does it become the recruiter is no longer using that art of sales, relationship building, kind of the people side of it? Where are we going with all this?
No, that's a great question, Megan, right? So I think you certainly have seen changes in that, you know, dramatically over the last couple of years. But you know what? That recruiting function still remains in organizations, but, you know, it certainly has changed, right? And, you know, not only the automation on that side, but you've also got the growth of the RPO market that is challenging kind of those corporate recruiters as well. There's so much innovation happening in this space, as you know, right?
Yeah, it's mind-blowing. It really is, right?
It's scary, right? And the pace at which it's happening, the pace that new solutions are being introduced, the pace at which new solutions are gaining adoption out there, is happening the fastest that it's ever had out there. So I think you're right. I think that the recruiting function is ultimately going to change. But this is something that is challenging every different function that's out there, right? I think when you start thinking about, you know, AI or machine learning, that classification out there, you know, it offers tremendous opportunities for organizations that can leverage more science and technology-based solutions to help connect the right people with the right opportunities, right? It's something a recruiter has done for years, but it's been based on looking at a resume, looking at a set of screening questions, looking at a third-party assessment, and matching it with the role and everything. And now we can kind of leverage, you know, machine learning or AI to kind of get a better handle on that. So that may be one of those things that recruiters then lean on to, once again, kind of expanding capacity in an organization. You look at bots, right, that are happening primarily in the candidate side, right?
So many.
No, it really is, right? But and how cool is it, though, that
very
a job
cool.
come to a site and, you know, can kind of start doing things and learning more about the brand of the organization without having to talk to a recruiter, right? We've been doing that in consumer side for years, right? When was the last time I went to buy a major appliance and you just walked into the car dealership and started asking questions, right? You spent time online, you started learning, so you're dealing with, you know, more of an educated buyer and everything. So I think all of these things are certainly going to have an impact on, you know, certainly I think you can kind of connect the dots and say it's going to have an impact on the number of recruiters that the industry needs out there. But I think more so it's going to have an impact on what recruiters do. So they're going to be leaning more on technology to help automate a lot of those more standard kind of processes to improve their ability to connect the dots between people and positions. But let's face it, they're never going to replace the value of that one-on-one conversation, the need to quantify the value of the organization and sell that person on the opportunity to join that company. So I think that growth of those interpersonal skills are going to become much more important. I think that the recruiter teams are going to need to understand technology a little bit more and how the bot, you know, integrated or worked with that job seeker, or how, you know, that matching platform did that and everything. So, you know what, I think that you're going to continue to see all these new technologies, but I think what I have always looked at is that you're then going to have a scenario that, you know, it's buyer beware, because, you know, that shiny new toy from that new startup organization and such, you know, the industry just simply cannot support the hundreds or thousands of different types of recruiting technology that's out there today. It's just impractical to think that it can. And so, you know, organizations need to really have a good understanding what's happening in their house and what technologies make the most sense for them.
Well, listen, we're almost down to the end here. This has been so much fun. How can people find out more about Great People and what your team is working on?
Sure. So certainly, you know, the best place would be for kind of our website. So that is greatpeople.com. And I'll spell that out because many people have challenges with that. But that's GR8people.com. There you can get our perspective on talent acquisition. Of course, information on our platform, our solution, and our customers. We're always on the road attending trade events like Unleash, ERE, SourceCon, HR Tech, HCI, you know, the list goes on. In fact, you can look for a panel discussion that we're going to be attending at HR Technology this coming fall in Las Vegas at HR Technology. And of course, the best way is to reach out directly to the organization, connect with us on any of the social networks and the such, and find time to kind of, you know, sit through a demonstration of our platform, because it gives us great learnings of what's going on. But then again, they can, you know, clients and prospects can also learn capabilities that we might have and benchmark that against what they're doing today.
Jack Copeman, you inspire and you continue to do so, by the way. One last question for you. What keeps you motivated? Because you are a high energy guy. We want to hear it.
I try to be, but that could be the result of the start. You know, I think, you know, what keeps me motivated, you know, first and foremost are the conversations that I have, Megan, with prospects and clients, right? Every company approaches this a little bit differently. It gives us different scenarios and gives us a chance to kind of, you know, validate our approach to the market out there. Secondly, is in that category of inspiring and being motivated would be working with, you know, the Great People team. You know, we deeply care about delivering a really competitive advantage to our customers, and we're a team of builders, so we're constantly seeking ways that we can architect the broadest and deepest set of functionality that's out there. What else? I literally read the majority of blogs and analyst reports and try to keep on top of industries, but I also spend a lot of time looking outside of our industry, because I think that there's a lot of learnings that we gain from how things
are. That's a good point.
Yeah. And you know, it's one of those things that I look at everything through the lens of recruiting. And sometimes it gets a little crazy. But, you know, we should have seen some of these things that we're addressing right now from a marketing function. You know, leaders could have walked across the hall and talked to their marketing counterpart and learned about, you know, the art of nurturing, you know, job seekers or pipelining candidates and drip campaigns and everything. So I think there's a lot of learnings that's right in front of us. We just need to kind of apply that.
Lynn, let's keep doing so. Thanks again for stopping by.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to Work Trends from Talent Culture. If you enjoyed this episode, subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And I'd be really grateful if you took a moment to leave a rating and review on iTunes. It helps other people find our show. If you know someone who would enjoy listening, please share it with them. You can learn more about the future of work at talentculture.com.